Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on Newstalk.
Ireland's Strategic Investment Fund is in effect Ireland's sovereign wealth fund worth just under 15 billion euro and designed to generate returns for taxpayers. ICIF, which is part of the National Treasury Management Agency, is very distinct from the new Future Ireland Fund set up last year. However, there are similarities, and ICIF is now investing in climate-related projects and companies worth 1 billion euro, which it thinks will speed up the energy transition and make the state some money. Nick Ashmore is the chief executive of ICIF and is sitting in front of me. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, John.
Can we start by explaining the difference between you guys and the Future Ireland Fund?
So the ICIF, or Ireland Strategic Investment Fund, has been in existence about 10 years. We were the successor to the original sovereign fund, the National Pension Reserve Fund, which was largely used to recapitalise the banks during the crisis.
For which they're very grateful.
And actually those investments have finally almost been realised now with the recent sale of AIB shares. So ICIF was created at a time when the economy needed support as a development-focused fund with a double bottom-line mandate. So we look for both a strong commercial return, but also a strong level of economic impact and support for employment. The Future Ireland Fund, which has just been created last year, is a long-term savings fund. It's designed to put resources aside for the future, to grow them as much as they can over time, but to invest them globally. And effectively, they're a hedge and a de-risking of the Irish economy by putting those resources elsewhere, growing them so they could be then used to support government expenditure. And in the case of the FIF, from about 2040 onwards.
Yeah, indeed. And the money is not supposed to be touched until that time. But let's see if that is adhered to. You are the Irish Sovereign Wealth Fund. What do you invest in?
So we focus our efforts on four key themes. And these are areas where we see commercial investment having a positive impact, but also helping the state meet key challenges, key areas where there isn't necessarily the finance or the market available to provide the finance for critical areas of investments. And the first of those is climate, which we're, you know, I can talk a bit about more today. The second is housing and enabling infrastructure. So we invest a lot in things like commercial real estate in the regions, urban regeneration in Limerick at the moment with a project, also in Kilkenny, but also focused on Cork, Galway and Waterford as well. The third theme is scaling Irish companies, where we invest in everything from seed capital to venture capital, growth capital, private credit as well. And then the fourth theme is food, agriculture and the marine, which is critical both for the rural and regional economy, but also in the decarbonisation as agri is our largest emitting sector, but also faces a huge opportunity with the future of sustainable food systems as the world has to feed a growing population at a lower carbon footprint.
Just going back to, we'll come to climate change in a moment, just going back to housing, do you invest in projects that otherwise might not attract capital?
So we invest in projects where we can crowd in capital. So we can do things that are slightly beyond the scope of the market as long as we can get a commercial risk-adjusted return, and we do that. So over the years, we've invested $1.5 billion in housing. We've supported the development of 16,000 housing units to the end of last year.
But are you investing in the likes of Cairn or Glenveagh, or are you doing other things?
We're more focused. Cairn and Glenveagh have good access to the capital markets. Mm. We're more focused on financing the smaller developers and the long tail of developers, but also the larger ones that are sort of below that level of Cairn and Glenveagh. So we invest in senior debt for developers, mezzanine finance, and more recently we've been focused on trying to get money into equity because the capital base of the developer community is still recovering from the financial crisis.
So you take stakes in these scale-up companies?
It's more stakes in the projects that they're developing. Right. We'll take the higher risk ends of those projects.
And those stakes could yield a return for taxpayers, of course.
They always yield a return for taxpayers. Yeah. We're always looking to get the money back plus a return.
Okay. You mentioned the first of the four big priorities would be climate change. What kind of projects are you investing in there?
So we recently, as part of our 10-year impact report, it's now 10 years old, announced both the completion of a first ambition to put €1 billion into climate, but also a new ambition to put another €1 billion into climate. So we already have a lot of money in the ground and going into the ground. But the new ambition, we're looking to execute over 4 years. And we've just announced the first three funds investments. So we're investing with AP Ventures, which is hydrogen and sustainable fuels, carbon capture, new technologies in that area. Hightech Vision, which is an investor in renewable infrastructure platforms. And then also LNG NTR Clean Energy, which is an Irish-based fund focused on wind and solar assets as well. And it's grown out of the original NTR.
Now, would it be fair to say that you have a fifth area that you consider, and that would be contingent, i.e., when the rules change a little bit, like we've seen in the last couple of months with the arrival of a global trade war, that that's also something that you look at?
So we have what we call a compelling and national theme, and it's contingent, and where there's a more extreme situation that requires support, where we can go in, make commercial investments and have an impact on the situation at hand. So we've done that twice before. We did it with Brexit. We had a specific program to support Brexit impacted companies. And then really significantly during the pandemic, we had what was called the Pandemic Stabilization and Recovery Fund. It was a 2 billion euro pool of capital to deploy into companies with more than 250 people, where you don't tend to get the state aid you get for smaller companies. And we deployed a significant amount of money into those opportunities, both in direct debt facilities. We provided a 300 million euro facility to Aer Lingus at the time, but also a number of other companies, including...
So they might have gone to the wall without your support.
I think it's that's certainly possible, but we were not there to bail out businesses that are deeply in trouble. We're there to support businesses that are viable, that are going to give us a good commercial return as well.
And what are you going to invest in now in the middle of this global trade war?
So we're going to continue to pursue those four themes that I mentioned. We're through the cycle investors. The point of having a sovereign development fund is not that they disappear when times get hard. We're there to dig in and keep going. So we'll keep investing in those themes, but we'll do so carefully. It's not a straightforward situation at the moment. We have to be very careful in our due diligence, very thorough in our sourcing of high-quality investments. And the key thing for ICIF over the years has been to crowd in smart capital, both domestic, really strong investment platforms, venture capital firms, private equity firms, real estate developers, but also international smart capital that brings specific expertise, specific types of finance that different types of business in the Irish market need over time. Climate's a good example. We've got a spectrum of investments from high-risk investors that invest in early stage development projects right through to the investors that will hold those projects long term. Greencoat PLC is a good example of that.
Okay. What kind of returns have taxpayers enjoyed?
So since inception to the end of 23, we've total return from our discretionary portfolio. That doesn't include the bank investments, which we only hold on behalf of the minister. We've generated a return of 3.1% per annum. Mm. That's north of our benchmark. The cost of 10-year cost of government debt was about 2.7%. But that reflects a mix of both high-risk, illiquid alternative assets, which generate a higher return, but also our low-risk global reserve portfolio, where we keep the funds until we need them. And that's in a mix of global, diversified, low-risk liquid assets and generates a lower return. But the most important thing about that is it's there when we need it. So in the pandemic, we had no issue. We didn't have to go back to the government for more funds. We have that money ready and available for those sort of situations. And in the meantime, we can take considerable risk on the Irish investments because we can balance it with what's going on in the global portfolio.
Who's your boss? Is the Minister for Finance your boss? Oh, I mean, obviously the NTMA, but who's the ministerial boss?
So the NTMA feeds into the Department of Finance and accountable to the Minister for Finance very much so. But we also work closely with four key departments that oversee the sectors that we're investing in those themes. So Department of Energy and Climate Change, Department of Enterprise, Department of Housing, and Department of Agriculture, Food and Marine. So our teams are very close relationships with those departments, and we look to work with them as much as possible.
Thanks very much for coming in, Nick.
Thank you,
Nick Ashmore, the Chief Executive of the Ireland Strategic Investment Fund.
Breakfast Business
with Enterprise Ireland
on News Talk.